Good morning. What a joy it is to be with you all here on this beautiful, crisp Sunday morning as together we worship God in spirit and in truth. My name is Will McLean, and I serve as one of our pastors, and it's my delight to welcome you here today. If you are visiting with us or if you're a long-term member, we invite you to share your attendance with us by filling out the attendance pew card or by registering your attendance online. Also want to share with you different ways that you can be involved in the life of our community. So we celebrate today that right after this service, starting at 9:45, we have a new online small group that is beginning. And here's the cool part of this small group. It is being led by one of our church members, Vicki Breyer. Vicki first attended West End about a year ago, last September. She came into the sanctuary, she experienced communion, and she felt the overwhelming love of God in such a way that it completely transformed her life. Vicki was baptized in this church last February, just a few months ago. And here's the thing I haven't told you about Vicki. Vicki actually lives in the United Kingdom. And so she worships regularly online with us. And whenever she has the opportunity to be in Nashville, she is here at West End. And so she started this small group as a way of creating spaces of ministry for other people who worship regularly with us online, that they can grow in the life and love of Jesus through the unique way of West End United Methodist Church. So we celebrate Vicki's ministry as that small group begins today. Also want to share with you that as the fall begins and the weather turns, we want to be outside. And so our West End walking group will again be meeting this Saturday at 9 a.m. and they'll be walking together at the Richland Creek Greenway. That's where you can meet them to begin the walk. And you don't have need to come to one of the walks prior to join now in the fun. I know the summer months are hard, so please come and walk with us. Also want to celebrate that next Sunday at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we will be hosting our Tazay service of healing prayer. You don't need to be familiar with the liturgies and the songs of Tazay to come and participate in this ministry. In a few weeks, we look forward to hosting a children's Sabbath here in the sanctuary. Our children will lead us with creativity and delight as together we worship God. This will also be the moment in our church's life where we hand out Bibles to 3- and 4-year-olds and third graders. If you have a 3- or 4-year-old or a third grader and you would like to register them to receive a Bible, we invite you to do so within the next week. Also want to remind us that in this community, we celebrate God bringing people with disabilities into the fullness of our life. And so we will regularly have service dogs in our services. And these service dogs, if they are here, they are working. So we invite you not to pet them or to call them by name so that they can do their good work. Finally, I want to bring your attention to the image on your bulletin. This is a photo of Nashville. You might recognize it. From June 2024, which means it's already outdated. There's probably another crane in the sky. But the reason why we are focusing on our city throughout the series of James is because James is a book that calls us to live a practical faith. And so as we hear James calling us into living the unique way of Jesus, we want to be doing so with the imagination of how we are called to live our faith with our neighbors. So with that teaser of where we are headed today in the proclamation, might we prepare to worship God in spirit and in truth. Good morning.
join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts in thanksgiving as we celebrate God's open doors to all people.
We give thanks for the work of Jesus Christ in making a way for us.
May our actions and words challenge our world to live within the equity and equality of God's kingdom. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and that God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God, you have made all in your image and called all people to show your world your grace and mercy. Coming blind to the splinters in our eyes and making extra barriers to entrance into your kingdom. Renew our hearts as we remember that we are all created in your image and are heirs to your abundant life. Guide the work we do in your world to bring about a beloved community for all people filled with acceptance, hope, and love. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Liz and Scott McAnally bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so, Liz and Scott, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms it presents itself? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people?
We do.
Liz and Scott, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, we will.
We will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Would you pray with me? Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Joseph Daniel.
Joseph Daniel. Come here, buddy. Hey, Joe. Joseph Daniel, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, if you'll lay hands on Joseph Daniel, we'll pray for him. All right? Joseph Daniel, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you'll be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. All right, let's go see our church family. Yeah. All right, let's bring all the family to the middle, and you can see your church family. See, Joe, you were born into this beautiful family, but now you're a member of this amazing family, and they all promise to love and care for you.
Please rise and embody your spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Joseph Daniel. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Joseph Daniel to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and protect him in love. We can give thanks for all that God has already given you, Joseph Daniel, and we welcome you in Christian love, members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
I just love baptisms. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 and 14 through 17. If you'd like to read along in your pew Bible, turn to page 981. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, And if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, I invite our children to come forward and to sit with me for our children's moment. You might notice that it's a little wet up here. We had a splashy splash baptism, which is a good symbol for how the waters of baptism are flooding all of our lives. So come on up and sit with us. Yeah, don't worry. Come on up. It's not too wet. It's just a little sprinkled. Great. All right, friends, as we're coming up, I have a question for you. Do you ever have friends that need help? Do you ever have friends that need help? Maybe you're in a classroom and your friend needs a pencil. Have you ever had a friend that needs like a pencil or an eraser? Have you ever had a friend that needed somebody to sit by them? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a friend that was sad? And what did you do when your friend was sad or needed a pencil or just needed help? What'd you do? You helped them? Is that right? So what we just heard is a letter to a church where the church has stopped helping people. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It doesn't. It just doesn't make sense. So the church, instead of helping people, has actually kind of moved away. So it would be like if Pastor Amy was consistently telling me some needs that she had, and I said, I'm going to scoot it on over here. And that's what the church is doing. So in this letter, this man named James is calling the church to love Jesus through loving their neighbors. Oh, look at us. We didn't even plan this. It just happens. So I want you to think about this wherever you are. If you're in preschool or you're just playing on the playground or you're in elementary school and there's somebody in your class that consistently needs help in some way, go and be with them. Keep company with them. Sit with them. And what you'll discover is not only that you're helping them, but they'll find a way to help you, to be your friend and to transform your life. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, would you help us to be good friends? Would you help us to help the people in our lives that need help? Would you help us to love our neighbors? All this we ask through Jesus. Amen. Right, I'm going to invite 3, 4, and 5 and kindergartners to go with Pastor Maggie and Mr. Hampton to Children's Church. All right, y'all have so much fun. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to guess today that I am in good company in recognizing that eighth grade was not my finest hour. You know, there's something about being stuck in that place of wanting to project self-sufficiency all the while being anxious for the approval of anyone. That rarely brings out our best, right? Rarely brings out our best. And to her credit, my mom was one of the first to take notice. So here's how it happened. It was a crisp fall afternoon, weather like we're experiencing today. And my mom brought me home from school. She asked me to go retrieve the mail. I went to go retrieve the mail, and I saw in the mail something I did not want to see, a report card. This is back in the days before PowerSchool, where parents had instantaneous access to grades. Kids, they would send letters to your parents, so your parents had no idea how you were doing in school until they got that letter. And so here I am. I'm walking back to the house. I'm thinking through my mind, can I throw it in the gutter? Can I, like, hide it under my pillow? And then thinking also, no, I can't do that. I want to be a good person. I can't do that. And so my solution was I stacked it under a bunch of ads, like the kind of junk mail that you get in your mailbox that you just throw away. So I stacked it under a bunch of junk mail, just thinking, Mom's going to throw it away. Mom asked, did we get anything in the mail? Just a bunch of junk. Mom, don't worry. Mom opens the letter, and I'm going through the mental gymnastics of knowing exactly what she's about to see. She has no clue. She opens it. She looks at me, and she asks one question. Will, who are you spending time with at school? I think that memory is fresh in my conscience as I've read the letter to James, because reading James feels like reading a report card to an early church. The Common English Bible translation is even harsher than what LaDonna read. The first verse says, brothers and sisters, by your favoritism, you deny the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was resurrected in glory. Ouch. We call that a burn where I'm from. That stinks. And that letter of direct urgency that permeates the whole letter of James, in the 108 verses of James, the imperative case is used over 100 times. It's impossible to read James and be neutral. And maybe that's why this letter has some controversy in the history of the church. Martin Luther, the German pastor who led the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, he hated James. He called it an epistle of straw. He argued that it needed to be removed from the New Testament. He said that it advocated a gospel of works righteousness and not grace alone. Meanwhile, within our history, John Wesley, he loved James. He said that it was the perfect example of fusing personal piety, our prayer life, our fasting, with social holiness, our activity in the world of caring for our neighbor. And the more I have prayed through this letter in preparation for our short sermon series, the more I feel like when we let James press into our hearts, we witness the scriptures leading us past some theological debate about what we need to do or not do. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, James really cares about the who. Because you see, James is so acutely aware of a timeless truth of our lives, which is this: we become like the people with whom we keep company. The people in our offices, the people in our schools, the people with whom we play on the weekends, we become like the people with whom we keep company. The people with whom we keep company, they shape our ambitions and our desires. They affirm our identities, or they prey on our insecurities. They shape our loves. And James is writing to a church that is in a very vulnerable place in regard to its identity. We learn in the first verse of James that he is writing to the church in diaspora, which means the church that is scattered. The church is in a place of vulnerability in the vast Roman Empire. And in this place of vulnerability, the church is doing what many of us, if we're honest, would likely do. They are trying to keep company with the powerful, with the established. Because just then, or back in those days, and just like today, we still define winners as the people who have property and security and wealth and options. We define star students as those who can seemingly effortlessly go through school and get all the grades and have the approval of those around them. And so it makes logical sense from a strategic standpoint that if the church is scattered and the church is in a place of vulnerability in this vast Roman Empire, that they would secure their future by keeping company with the people that the empire determines are powerful, are winning at life. And so James, like a caring parent, redirects the church. He says, "Brothers and sisters, have we forgotten the way of Jesus? Have we forgotten the people with whom Jesus kept company? Need I remind you that in the Beatitudes, Jesus says that the poor are truly happy? Need I remind you that they are the heirs of the kingdom? That they are the ones who are rich in faith? If discipleship is a way of life that flows from Jesus himself, only by keeping good company will we live into this way of Jesus." And I'll be honest, friends, that the more I have walked with Christ, the more I have experienced the first sting of this challenge is an invitation into a more abundant life. Here's what I mean by that. By the metrics of global poverty, by the metrics of our city, I'm well off. I have a salary, I have health insurance, I have property, I'm established, I'm well off. And so it stings when I hear James saying, the church needs to be leaning away from people like me. And then I look at my life and I look at these transformative moments and I realize the gospel. That absent a community called the church, the community that keeps company with the poor, expecting to see Jesus in them and with them, I, for the whole of my life and for the rest of my life, would likely only ever be in spheres of influence with people who, by the world's definition, are rich. And I would have completely missed out on huge moments in my life. I would have never been a part of a United Methodist youth group in high school that once a month would go to a juvenile detention center in rural Arkansas. The prisoners in that juvenile detention center were the first people to ever call me into ministry. I would have missed out a moment when I was in a community, when I was in seminary, in such a high-performing place like Duke University, a community made up of people with and without intellectual and physical disabilities called Reality, where we lived into the reality of God's love for us. And in that community, I got the vision of what church can be. I would have missed out on the opportunity of going to the poorest country in the world, Haiti, and spending time in ministry with pastors and teachers and community leaders who are the most creative and innovative leaders I've ever known. And you look at the whole life of the church and you see a similar pattern that we are at our best, our most inventive, creative selves, when we keep good company. When the church actually listened to James and kept company with the poor, we were the ones who created in the Roman Empire the first hospitals for the poor, the first places of care for orphanages or for orphans, the first refugee places of shelter for those who are migrating through the Roman Empire and who are displaced by wars. As part of our own Methodist heritage, John Wesley's zeal for the poor led to the creation of a place called the Foundry. It was a community center that had a medical care for people who were poor. It offered what was called Sunday school, which is not Sunday school like we have on the third floor, but rather it was school for the children of coal workers who could not afford school. It had microfinancing for helping people get out of debt. That's part of our heritage. You know, I'll be honest, maybe Nancy and Amy have read it. I've yet to read the church strategy book that says the best way to grow your church is to more fully invest your life and resources in being with the poor. Have you all read that one? I've not read that one either. And yet you look at the history of our life, and it's everywhere. You know, it seems like we have forgotten Jesus' promise when he says in Matthew 25, whenever we keep company with the poor, with the imprisoned, with the sick, with the lonely, might we add this morning, with mourning mothers and fathers and friends of children murdered yet again in a school from a school shooting. When we keep company with people like this, we're actually in the presence of Jesus. What I've learned in those communities is that those people help us see the world in a different way. When we keep company on the mourner's bench with parents whose child has been killed from gun violence, we refuse to accept some dark, cynical reality where we see school shootings as just another fact of life. And we fight with our very being and the core of who we are for a different future. We refuse to accept when we know the names and the stories and the hopes and the ambitions of our working poor neighbors here in Nashville. We refuse to accept this narrative that a growing city just means that the poor have to be pushed out so that those who can pay rent will move in. And we fight for justice within the city gates, as the scriptures call us. And we can celebrate that within our communion, we're already experiencing life in this way. That within our past, we have initiatives like the Interfaith Dental Health Clinic, which began in our lower level, or our current partnerships with Open Table Nashville and Nashville Organized Toward Action and Hope, what we call NOAA, or The Quiet Place. And yet we learned on Wednesday at Adam Bazard's State of Nashville presentation that amidst our growing city, God is calling us to more fully invest in our life with the poor here in the city. And we learned in the State of Nashville report on Wednesday that the average cost of rent of a one-bedroom apartment in Nashville is $1,900. That we live in one of the most stressed cities in the most stressed states in the United States because people are more lonely and having to work harder than ever just to make it work. And we learned that we live in a global city, that 74% of the world's countries are represented in metro public schools. Over 100 languages are spoken. I love the way that Reverend Bazard summed it up for us and made it plain, like James. He said, in Nashville, the church does not have an evangelism problem. It has a discipleship opportunity. If we want to change the world, he said, begin right here, because the world is right here. And so, friends, as together we are wondering how we are to live faithfully amidst the complexity of the world, amidst the divisiveness of a general election season, amidst our conversation of how we are going to live in the future of our church, we would be wise to hear James calling us to seek our future through the flourishing of our neighbors. We would be wise to make it our first priority to always keep good company. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
As we affirm our faith together in the words of the creed that you can find in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed by. Please take note of the prayer requests in your bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundance and grace, we thank you for the ways that you show love for your people, for the unexpected yet much welcomed fall air, we give thanks. For the gift of this space to draw near to you and one another, we offer our gratitude. We thank you for the ways that your word reminds us and challenges us that none of us is more important than the other, that the young and the old, those who possess much and those who have little, the downtrodden and the joyful, all find their home in you. May these reminders permeate our daily living. May our thoughts and feelings lead to action and justice. Lord, make us instruments of your good work in this world. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Put us to doing, so that we become the lived expression of your grace and your love. For that is the witness and the testimony of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online can give via the options that are listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the rows. You can also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through our website. As we pass the plates down the row to one another, may we remember that God multiplies our gifts in this beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
Thank you.
I have to admit, I was thinking about it during the doxology that I should probably call my mom after church and tell her she was right. We do become like the people with whom we keep company. As we go forth into the world this day, might we keep company with those whom Jesus says are blessed. The poor, the hungry, the widowed, the mourning, the lonely, the imprisoned. Might we keep good company, and in keeping good company, discover the life that is truly life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.